and welcome to the Stobbies podcast, which is all about growing your own produce. I'm Louise Midgley, garden writer of the Sunday Express, and I'm joined by Louise Golden, Dobby's resident gardening expert. Hello, Louise.
Hi, Louise. Good to be with you.
Great. Well, today we're going to be chatting about growing your own fruit, vegetables and herbs. We will be giving advice on where to start if you are a novice, suggesting ways to grow edibles if you don't have any outdoor space, and what to grow and when. What would be a good starting point for someone who's never grown fruit or vegetables before, Louise?
Well, the great thing about growing fruit and vegetables is that you really don't need a lot to get started. So a couple of seed trays, small growing pots, some compost, seed and cutting compost is perfect for seed germination. If you're a little bit concerned about growing from seed, then why not try growing from the young plant stage? You can buy a few plants of a wide range of things to get started and see what takes your fancy.
Yes, and try with something that's going to germinate quite quickly, like salad leaves, which are easy to grow and they have a quick turnaround from, you know, from seeds to plate, don't they?
Yes, that's great. And there's cutting types so that you can just cut, they're called cut and come again. So you just cut a few leaves and let the plant carry on and then cut a few more as you need them. So very, very easy.
And what about any practical tips on how to get the best crops? You know, they need to have a lot of light and air and keep the soil moist.
Absolutely right. So you want to make sure that you keep them well watered. If possible, choose a sunny spot. You need a spot with that, you know, a few hours of sunshine a day. That would be best for good results. And then we would always recommend that you feed with a liquid fertilizer, something such as Tomerite, every week throughout the growing season to get the best from your crop.
And what about when is the best time to start growing your own produce? Obviously, some plants are harder than others, and it depends on which part of the country you're in.
Absolutely. So when the weather's cold and it's too cold to be germinating plants outside, you can get ahead of the season by starting them off indoors. And you can either do that indoors on your windowsill, or you can do that in a glass house. Or if you don't have a glass house, don't worry, you can also do it in a cold frame or a small grow house. And that's a great way to get ahead. And then you can plant them out into the vegetable garden when they've had a really good start. And one rule I always find quite useful is if I spot seedlings, weed seedlings germinating around the garden, then that tends to give me a bit of a nudge that now is now the time that I can actually start sowing my seeds directly into the ground and they'll be fine. You know, I will still dash out in the evening if I know it's going to be a cold night and throw over some fleece or even, you know, a sheet or some newspaper if we are going to have a really late frost.
Hard spell. Yes, that's a good idea. It means the soil's quite warm, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely. If your soil is warm, then they'll get away really, really quickly. The mistake quite often we make is that we are all so excited about wanting to get on with our grow-your-own that we sow too early. And then you can get a bit disappointed because the ground is just too cold and a bit too damp and they just don't get going. Whereas if you're a little bit more patient and you wait until the soil is properly warm, they'll romp away and grow to be much healthier plants.
Yes, I find that if a plant gets shocked by the cold one night, it might still be alive, but it just doesn't progress. It just doesn't, and then it doesn't give you a good harvest of food.
And it takes a while to catch up.
Yes, it does, for sure.
And you've lost some crucial time.
Yes, absolutely. Just because you don't have a garden doesn't mean you're excluded from growing edibles. If you just have a balcony, a windowsill or a roof terrace, you can certainly grow several crops. Do you have any tips and advice for growing in small spaces, Louise?
Do you know there are loads of different types of vegetables which will grow quite happily in containers? So as you say, they're perfect for the patio or for the balcony. If you've got a balcony, then not only will they grow happily in pots, but you could think about planting in the troughs that you hang on your railings. Or another neat idea is to grow vegetables in vertical planters. So it's a vertical gardening system. And some of them are self-watering too, which takes all the hassle out of it. And if you're doing that, you want to grow for the easy salads and herbs and easy things to grow in the small pockets. But as I said, there's loads of things that will happily grow in containers. Even potatoes grow really well in a potato sack. And I always think that's a great one for the family and particularly children to enjoy when you come to tip them out ready for dinner and you discover that bounty of potatoes come falling out of your sack.
Yes, and the taste is just sublime, isn't it? It's so different to a supermarket packet of potatoes. But I love the vertical spaces planting because it just makes the most of a small space, you know, planting up rather than across horizontally. It's just a wonderful way to grow herbs, great for herbs and salad leaves again, and little things like radishes or trailing tomatoes or trailing strawberries if you've got them. That's all quite good for it.
The only thing I would say if you were growing on a balcony is you just have to be aware that sometimes it can be really blowy and really windy and your pots can dry out quickly. So if you're not doing a self-watering system, then you just might need to keep an eye on the watering.
Yes, and I think also not everybody has a lovely sort of full sun sheltered spot to grow in. If they've got a bit of shade, they can try lettuce leaves because they cope, or salad leaves, they cope quite well with a bit of shade, don't they, during the day?
They do. And some things probably do a little bit better because they won't bolt too much in the heat. I always find with something like spinach or coriander, if when I've sown them in the spring, if it's actually really hot and really sunny, they just bolt so quickly. Whereas if it's a bit cooler and a little bit shadier, then they get going and make bushier plants before they bolt. Another nice idea for a growing system, which is proving very popular at the moment, is doing raised beds.
Yes.
And again, if you don't have border space or a piece of ground that you can grow vegetables in, then you can actually build a raised bed wherever you've got room. You could put it on the turf, you could put it on slabs, or you could put it on concrete. And the great thing about that is that you can actually then take it down again and move it to another spot if you wanted to. So that's another versatile way of growing your vegetables. And the compost in that, I would always suggest use peat-free compost, but the compost that you put in that would also warm up quickly with the seasons. And it means that you can just get ahead of the growing season because it's that little bit warmer for germinating and growing on your plants.
Yes, and they're great for things like carrots because they've got the carrot root needs lovely free draining soil to get its tap root down into, doesn't it? And also slightly raised off the ground, it's got a better chance of getting away from carrot root fly. So
there is that. And also it's less back-breaking.
Oh, sure.
You know, sometimes digging in the border, you know, especially if your soil is a bit heavy, it can be a bit back-breaking. Whereas working in a raised bed, I've got raised beds myself and I just absolutely love them. And they're just so easy. And if you have a raised bed that's something like, you know, 3 foot or 4 foot across, you can reach across from both sides and without having to climb on the soil and compact it down. So I think they're a great system.
Yeah, they're a win-win, aren't they? Definitely.
Yes, no, definitely.
What are the most common mistakes that people make when they start growing edibles, Louise?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, a common mistake is to get, you know, a little bit overexcited and you're wanting to get going with the season after being pent up all winter. And that's to start growing too early. And then the cold weather holds it all back. It's always best, as I said, to try and wait a little bit longer. So that's one of the things that people may make a little mistake over. Another thing is when you're sowing your seeds, try to sow as thinly as possible. I know it may not look very many seeds in the packet, but actually you can get 2 or 3 sowings out of your seed. And with some things such as salad lettuce, salad leaves and spinach, you want to keep sowing every 10 days or so to get a crop all the way through the summer. So just sow a few seeds as thinly as you can, and then that will ensure that each plant can mature to its full size. But don't worry if you do it too thickly, because of course you can just thin a few little vegetables out and pop them into your salads or steam them lightly and have them for supper.
Excellent. And also watering regularly is important, isn't it? Because for crops like tomatoes, for example, if you water them sporadically, the soil dries out, you can get blossom end rot, which means it gets a nasty sort of blacky brown mark on the bottom of the tomato. It's actually a calcium deficiency. Although there will be calcium in the soil, they're just not getting it. So I think water regularly is a key point to growing crops.
Absolutely. And again, with tomatoes, you really want to make sure that you're watering regularly to avoid the fruit splitting. There's nothing more disappointing than finding that your lovely beefsteak tomatoes have split and everything from unequal watering. One way to make the watering easier is, if you can, maybe put in a drip irrigation system if you're growing your tomatoes in grow bags or in pots, to be sure that they're adequately watered throughout their growing season.
And I think also, Louise, it's good to mention about rotating crops, because if you grow the same, say potatoes, for example, in the same place, even if it's in a raised bed all the time, you're going to get a buildup of pests and diseases. So to rotate the crops, change their position around regularly, you know, each year. Put them somewhere different.
Yes, absolutely. I think if you're starting as a brand new gardener, then I probably wouldn't worry about that too much in your first year, because, you know, you'll start worrying about some of these things. So definitely sort of from year two or year three, then start thinking about rotating your crops so that you're growing the same type of crop together in a particular bed, and then you're rotating those beds around so that you're not always using the same crops in the same beds.
And I think also talk to people, talk to other gardeners, talk to people who grow fruit and vegetables and ask their advice. They're always, even at allotments, they're always so willing to give advice, because there's a lot to learn. There's a lot of information to take in to start off with. So it can be a little bit overwhelming. So learn slowly and, you know what you know you're going to eat for a start, and then concentrate on that and then add to that. You know, year on, you'll get more confidence and you can grow more things.
Absolutely. And the lovely thing about gardeners is that gardeners love to share their advice.
They love it, yeah.
And they also love to share their produce. And we always find that we've got gluts of particular things, or we've got gluts of seedlings. And there's nothing nicer than sharing your spare seedlings and your spare crops with your neighbours and with your friends. So I've got a lovely neighbour here who keeps me supplied with rhubarb. And, you know, that's absolutely fantastic. And then a couple of nights ago, I had another neighbour brought me round a whole load of fresh asparagus. And it was just gorgeous. It was so sweet. It was nothing like the asparagus from the supermarket. It was so tender and so sweet. It was amazing. And he cut it just before it was due to be cooked, so that it really went straight from the border to the plate. And you just can't beat vegetables picked like that.
No, you can't.
So no, it's actually really, really lovely to share produce with your friends and neighbours.
When you say that, it reminds me of peas. There's just nothing lovelier than fresh peas from a pod. You don't even have to cook them. Just the young peas eaten straight away are put in salads, for example. They're just delicious.
Yes, no, really, really lovely. That was how I got into gardening, I think, was when I was little, my granddad used to grow peas down the garden. Aww. And I used to sneak down there to his little vegetable patch. And I used to pinch the podded peas from his garden.
How wonderful.
It was lovely. Yeah.
How wonderful. What are you growing in your garden this year?
I'm trying lots of new things this year, actually. So I've got this lovely climbing pea, which is purple podded. And the flowers are bright purple as well. So it's almost like you've got the benefits of like the cut flower of sweet pea, but then with these lovely purple pods, which I think you eat like monge too and things like that.
Yes.
So that looks really nice. And I'm trying a few other bits as well. So I'm vegetarian, and my daughter loves sort of trying lots of sort of different Asian recipes and things. So we've got some pak choi that we're going to try, and we've got some kohlrabi that we're going to try. Some things... I just think the foliage is so pretty as well. So Swiss chard with bright lights, with all the lovely vibrant coloured stems like fireworks, which I thought would look lovely through the winter. And some lovely big kale, which I think will just look great next winter. I'm sure we won't be able to eat it all because there's always too much, but I thought we'd do that. And I'm going to try a couple of new squashes this year. And I've just seen round the corner that somebody's got a few little pots of... pumpkin, is it Crown Prince outside their
yes,
front door?
Yes.
And I'm going to pick up a couple of pots of that and give that a go. And yeah, I think you have to experiment with new things and see how you get on. And I think it's really, really, really good fun.
I've been growing shrub raspberries, so rather than canes, I've got some. They are amazing. So I had them last year, and this year the shrub has grown to twice the size. I just have to protect them because we have a field at the back of our garden, and pheasants come in, and the pheasants just love to strip off the unripe fruit. They don't even wait for it to be ripe. They just strip it off, throw it onto the lawn and leave it. They do the same with strawberries. So I have to be really careful and cover it all up.
The good thing about those is that you can grow them in containers as well. So if you don't have room to do a row of raspberry canes, then, you know, you can do a pot of raspberries on the patio. And the same with blueberries. You can grow blueberries in a pot on the patio. And they're actually almost an ornamental plant as well, because they've got very pretty flowers in the spring. And they're great. And you can then be picking blueberries fresh for your porridge in the morning, as I do every morning. Although mine are frozen blueberries, they're not the fresh off the plant.
Yeah, but when they come into season, that's a really lovely thing to do.
Yeah, really, really lovely. Yeah, no, great.
But you can have patio fruit trees. They're all small, you know, diminutive sized fruit trees. They have the same size fruit. And the great thing, you know, that's great if you have a small garden. The great thing about them is that you can protect them from, you can have cherries or nectarines or peaches, and you can protect them from the birds, because you could just put a cover on the top of them, which you can't do if you've got a full size tree. So, I mean, I think that's a really lovely thing for someone with a small garden if they want to have some fruit.
Yes, even family trees. So you can get family apples, and they've got three varieties on one tree. That's great as well. I think it's really, really clever. Or cordon fruit trees that you can grow single stem up against a wall, so that they're really not taking up any space. I think they're great too. So yes, there's so many options now. It means that everybody can experience the joys of growing their own.
I'm growing copious amounts of coriander because we have a house rabbit and he loves coriander, and it's £1.25 from the supermarket. So I'm growing my own. I try and grow as much as I possibly can just to keep him well fed. So yeah. Yeah, might as well.
I love coriander too, and parsley. So during the winter, I grow them both under glass, and they keep me supplied all the way through the winter months. And now we've got to spring, I've just sown the first batches outside, and then those will keep me going through the summer. So it's great, because honestly, we go through bags and bags from the supermarket. It's just, you know, daft, really. They germinate so easily. You just cut it and pick it as you need it, and it carries on growing. And the other thing I grow a lot of is spinach, because again, I can just cut that as I need it and throw it straight, and that will keep going through the winter. So they're all really nice, easy crops.
Louise, I'm a great advocate for growing flowers in my vegetable patch, not just because they look lovely, but because they help deter pests as well. Do you do that?
Oh, I do. Firstly, they look pretty. Secondly, they deter pests. But also, I grow ones that I can also add to my salads as well. Many of them are edible, and they look really, really pretty too, and very stylish on your plates. So some of the ones that I tend to grow are nasturtiums, and I grow calendulas. So that's the old English marigold. And borage. I absolutely love the azure blue flowers of borage. And they're great thrown into your gin and tonic. And you can freeze them in ice cubes, and then you can drop them into your pims and your drinks during the summer season. So yes, I certainly grow flowers alongside, because they deter the pests from my peas and beans in particular.
Yes, and they draw in pollinators to pollinate the flowers on your vegetable crops, which is also very useful.
Yes, and I also grow some things to deter pests from things like my carrots, because carrot root fly homes in on my carrots. But if I put onions alongside or garlic alongside, then they get distracted by the fragrance of that, and it hopefully keeps them away from my carrots.
Yes, the Allium family's got a very strong smell. It's brilliant for carrot root fly. I do that every single year. Even if it's just spring onions, it seems to do something. It helps a little bit.
Yes, no, that's good. And we all want to do things that are environmentally friendly and look after our gardens in an organic and sustainable way.
Yes, I'm so anti-pesticides. I just think if you use a pesticide, you're going to kill the good guys as well as the bad guys. So better let nature take its course and attract the good flies in. You know, they will come eventually, of course.
Absolutely. And an organic garden is a healthy garden. And if you've got a good, healthy ecosystem in your garden, then you really don't need to use pesticides and things like that in your garden.
Well, thank you, Louise. I think we've covered quite a lot there. That's all we have time for today. But thanks for listening. You can find loads of useful advice on growing your own at dobbies.com. Stay tuned for the next podcast, which will be coming soon.